Anybody else brave, come on up. I got something for you in up here too, so come up, come up.
Jessica, don't be shy.
All right, thanks for coming up. Now, today, what's today? You know what today is? What special day is it? Mother's Day, right. Do you? I know you all love your mothers, right? Raise your hand if you love your mother.
Both hands, way up high.
Yay. Okay, did you ever play a game with your mother like this where you go to mom and you say, I love you this big. And then mom says, but I love you this big. Whose arms reach farther? Mom's arms always reach farther. Mom loves you more than you love her. So what do you think? Is there anybody who loves more than a mom does? Who loves more than a mom? You're right, Jesus does. Somebody in the first service said a dad, and I said, well, dads love the same as mom, but not more as mom. But Jesus loves the most, the most. Nobody can love you more than Jesus does. And one of the ways that Jesus shows us how much he loves us and we can learn about Jesus' love is he gives us moms. What are some things that moms do for us that show us how much they love us? What do you think? They give us hugs, exactly. Anything else? And kisses, right. Anything else? What about yummy food? Does your mom make yummy food for you? Right. What about helping you with your homework? Does mom do that? Yep. How about taking care of you when you're sick? Mom does that. How about cleaning up after you when you make messes? Does mom do that? Yeah. Washing your clothes. What about taking you places? Mom does that. How about fixing things when they break at home? Does mom do that? Yeah. Moms do almost everything, don't they? Wow. But sometimes moms get tired, right? Yeah. Sometimes they might have a headache, right? Yeah, or they might get sick. Or they might have tears, they might be sad and cry. And what do we do then? Help mom? I have some ideas for you. These are things I learned from the Bible. This is what I learned about Jesus. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he still showed his mother how much he loved her. He told his disciple John to take care of his mother after he went to heaven. Jesus loved his mother and cared for her very much. And something else in the Bible about Jesus. This is a candle that Pastor Sean lit, and it has a wick. That's where the flame is. You see the wick? It's kind of down in there, but it's where the flame is. And the Bible says that Jesus would never snuff out a smoldering wick. That means a wick that's about to die. The flame is about to die. Jesus wouldn't put the flame out. He wants our flame to burn bright. So is it easy to put the flame out on a candle? It is. It doesn't take very much. If you took this outside and the wind got to it too much, it would go out. It's real easy. See? Real easy to blow out a candle. But when we say the candle's flame is like a person's light, remember we say that, let your light shine, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's like your light. And when somebody's feeling sad or sick or tired, their light is almost going out. And Jesus would never put that light out. Instead, he wants to help it grow bigger and stronger. So he's very gentle with it, just like we need to be gentle with a candle's flame. So it doesn't go out. Jesus is very gentle with somebody when they're sick or they're sad or they're hurt or tired or they have a headache. And that's what we can do when mom is tired, when she's sick, when she's sad, when she has a headache. We can be gentle with her. We don't want to make loud noises. We don't want to fight with our brothers and sisters because that doesn't help mom, right? We want to help her do the housework so she can get some rest. We want to use gentle words and pray to Jesus to make mom feel better. We want to give her hugs and gentle words to let her know we love her. So I have a gift for you, for your mother. And I know some of you have the same mother, so I'm going to give the gift to the youngest one that can give it to her, right? And it's from both of you, but I'm giving it to the youngest one. All right. Here you go. There you go. And I have some other things that I can give to your older ones so you don't feel left out either. This one's going to require a little more work. You got to work on it at home. Yep, before you give it to mom. There we go. You want one too? There we go. All right. Pray with me, please, now. Dear God, thank you for our moms.
Thank you for our moms.
Help us to care for them.
Help us to care.
Like Jesus cared for his mother.
Like Jesus cared for his mother.
Help us to be gentle with our mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your seat.
Thanks, Jill.
Hey, Sam. That's a nice gift, huh?
Yeah.
I invite you to please follow along with me in our outline, the outlines you have in your bulletins. We're going to look at, as a Happy Mother's Day, we're going to look at the Mother Mary and the faith, really the blessed faith that God used. I found that there, well, I found a couple of things when I was doing some looking up for moms. Many years ago, this is almost three decades now, the Washington Post had done an article on how much a mother's worth, and they calculated the salary of what a mother would get. And so to update that, I found that there is a website called salary.com. And I'm not endorsing this website or anything, but I would encourage you guys especially, go to salary.com because you can see all the things that the training and the skills that moms have in order to do their jobs. I just listed some of the things in my notes here. I'll read them off to you. These are some of the skills that a mom has to have. Animal trainer, executive chef and dishwasher, nutritionist, interior decorator, registered nurse, which, by the way, I actually saw Brenda executing. It was Saturday night for your daughter Hannah. It was cool. How's she doing, by the way?
She said she feels a little bit better today.
Oh, good, because mom is looking in her throat and kind of, it was great. So it was good example, but thank you for your ministry. Childcare worker, teacher, psychologist, academic advisor, groundskeeper, recreational therapist, coach, minister, evangelist, judge, janitor, senior janitor, mind you, maintenance supervisor, plumber, buyer, taxi driver, social media and marketing manager, event coordinator. So all these things, moms, we love you. We just thank God for you. I mean, you are a great blessing. You brought us into the world. You raised us. You taught us right from wrong. You know, you supported us in just about everything that we ever did. You know, whether you're adopted or whether, you know, you're biological, it doesn't matter. It's such a great blessing. And we owe you, moms. God bless you. And in an effort to really bring that out, I want to look at one of the famous moms from the Bible, and that's Mother Mary. I want to talk to you about the faith that I see that she had, because it is a type of faith for us. It's a type of faith that that really God it brings to us and instills in our heart, but it's good for us to have the focus. Now, whereas the world is never fully going to compensate you, Mom, for all the work that you've done and all the effort that you do and the sacrifice that you have made, you know, God will, and God wants to bless you, and He wants to bring a life-giving, sustaining faith, and Mary is a picture of that type of faith. So, you know, Mary, it's not an issue of, you know, and there's some confusion about Mary, that's true. We're not called to worship her, we're not called to venerate her, we're not called to lift her up in that the way that it might be confusing for us to think of and how we might hear. But with Mary, she's interesting because what makes her special is her absolute plain ordinariness. It wasn't her education because she didn't have any. It wasn't her wealth because they were poor. And it wasn't anything that had to do with her maturity or she was a teenager. She's probably 13 or 14 years old. So she was just a little girl in a sense. But you know, the context is this. The context is that she expressed great faith, amazing faith, and trust in God. And that's what really makes her special. The story you probably heard goes where an angel, Gabriel, very powerful and mighty angel, appeared to her. And this angel just shows up and says, "You're going to be the mother of the Messiah." Now, man, I don't know. Angels, that would just freak you out, just having it. Can you imagine you're getting ready for church this morning and you look in the mirror and you see in the reflection of a mirror there's an angel standing behind you? I mean, that would be absolutely terrifying. And, you know, it says in the text that she was confused and disturbed. That word in Greek means petrified with fear. She was absolutely scared stiff, and she didn't know what to do. When there's a lot of fears that you and I have. There are just so many fears. I listed out some basic, just normal fears, and I know they would have been the case for her as well. You know, nobody likes to be criticized. Any guys, nobody likes that. You know, if you have a boss that's really critical, or you're in a critical situation, and, you know, nobody enjoys that. Well, for her, the criticism would have been pretty severe. It may sound really harsh, but, you know, for her to be an unwed mother in that culture, she would be stoned. They would kill her. I mean, you talk about peer pressure. This is very serious stuff. And she would have been very much afraid about what everybody's going to think. Are you afraid about what people are going to think about you? You're afraid about the criticism and the pressure that you might have from that? You know, the fear of inadequacy. I can't imagine how did you feel, you know, when you... It's probably great joy when you find out you're expecting. And then all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, this... How in the world am I going to do this? I don't like pain. This is not good, you know. This is going to be tough. I mean, we just feel in so many ways, so many things happen in our lives that we really feel inadequate to do them. All of us do. And we just feel like we're not able to do it. And we might hide it. We might not want people to know. We might not even want our spouse to know or our kids to know. But we know deep down in our hearts, there's no way I can do this, and I'm just going to go crazy because I don't really know if I'm able to meet the task. How am I going to raise my kids? How am I going to tell them the right thing? There's all sorts of things that come up. And that inadequacy is real, and the fear of change. None of us like to change. We spend so much time trying to keep everything normal. And the reality is life is wholesale out of our control. But we don't like change. We like things to go along as they normally do. And change really bothers us. It's difficult for us. You know, you imagine the change that was going to happen in her life. I'm sure she had plans. I'm sure she had dreams. Joseph and them had plans. And all that is changing. You know, is Joseph going to take me? Am I going to be on my own? Am I going to get stoned? I mean, all sorts of things are going on. But What she did in the text is amazing, and it's what we need to do. We need to give some thought to this, because no matter how frightened a person might be, no matter how great the fears are in your mind, she did something that is such a wonderful release. In the face of fear, she praised God. She praised the Lord. She just thanked God. She lifted up to God a song of praise, and she said, "How my soul praises the Lord." You know, you might be in some circumstances, some situations right now. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know how you're going to have the strength. You might feel inadequate. You're worried about change that you think is going to happen, or you're worried about how it's going to happen. You know, and it doesn't really matter. What Mary's faith speaks to us and what it asks of us, are we willing to trust in God's will to direct us so completely that even when life becomes difficult, we continue to know that God is with us? Can we see God's hand in life at all times? As He's watching over us and caring for us. Ultimately, God has one purpose for you. And God has come to redeem you. He's done that through Jesus Christ. He wants to have fellowship with you. He's brought you back into His family through Jesus Christ. And faith is not denying the pressures. It's not denying reality. That's not faith. Faith has nothing to do with you pretending they don't exist, pretending that you're not afraid, saying, "Well, I can handle this. Don't worry. It's not a problem." That's not faith. God says He works in your life according to faith. And faith is facing your fears without being discouraged by them. It's being able to look at the fear and saying, "Yes, that is an issue in my life, but I'm not discouraged by it, because I know that God is bigger than that problem, and I'm going to praise Him." That's the type of faith that Mary has. And Mary used God in spite of all these fears, all these issues, and all these problems. And that's a faith that God moves. That she didn't let the fear keep her from being used by God. And you know, it doesn't matter what the situation is. To thank and praise God in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective on our circumstances and on who our God, our Savior, is. Only then can we really offer heartfelt praise to God. You know, can God really help me with my financial issues? Can God really help me with my spouse and my kids? Can God really help me to get the job that I need? Can God really make my marriage work? You know, I mean, these are issues that we bring to God, that we have to ask ourselves, you know. And really, it's an issue that we want to just lift up to Him in praise and say, "Lord, I'm going to make a triumphant proclamation here." And it's really that intimate relationship, that praise, that brings us into that closeness with God and really brings the fullness of faith of what God really intended it to be. And you know, besides, when you worry about all the fears that you have for tomorrow, all it does is it zaps the strength that you have for today. And God wants to strengthen you. He wants to empower you so you're able to meet those challenges adequately in Him. You know, Mary also, there's another thing that she did, which is really interesting. She's very humble. She really is. You know, she says, "He has shown concern for His humble servant girl." And that word humble, I think, is one that's so misunderstood for us in the church and in the world as well. You know, a lot of people think humility is putting yourself down. They think it's, "Oh, you know, I'm not that good, and that was nothing, and you know, I could never do that, and you know, I'm just a normal person, you know," and we're kind of put ourselves down, and we make ourselves lower, and we think that's what humility is about, and that's not what humility is about. Humility is not about putting yourself down. It's about thinking of others more. It's about lifting others up. It's not about thinking about yourself less. It's about thinking of others more, of thinking of yourself less in lifting others up. And you know, a humble person is an encourager. A humble person is a person that lifts people up, that blesses them, that encourages them, that inspires them. That's what true humility is. That's where you see a real humble person. It's someone that empowers people, that strengthens them, that encourages them. That is what humility is to God. That's what humility really is in the Bible, and God inspires us in this way. You know, God talks more about, there's only two things. First thing that he talks about most of all in the Bible is being generous. And the second thing that he talks about most of all is being humble. And you know, God works through humility. It's countercultural to how we would think in this world. And let me just give you a few promises that God gives you through humility. He says that you will have my presence. He said you will have my power. You will have my peace. You will be prosperous. You'll be successful. You'll have great honor. The very things that everybody wants in life, God says doesn't come through pride, doesn't come through bragging or boasting or doing it your way or pretending you're something when you're not or posing or being a poser. It comes from humble trust in God. God gives us these things. You know, in James, I put a verse in the outline, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Here's a thought. Is that, let's say you know the right answer and you have the right response and you're right and you know that you're right. But if you say that from a standpoint of looking down, if you say that from a standpoint of arrogance or from pride, God says, I oppose you. God says, I don't care if you're right. I oppose you. Because God gives grace to the humble. And grace is what we need. Grace is what we need. Grace looks like this in our lives. This is how grace would be. Grace is the ability to forgive when I want to forgive. Grace is the ability to resolve a conflict with my wife or my husband or my kids when I don't feel like it and I don't feel like I'm able to. Grace is the ability to compromise. Grace is the ability to get along. Grace is the ability to build strong relationships. When everything else wants to tear your marriage, tear your work, tear your church, tear your relationships, whatever it may be, apart, it doesn't matter. That's grace, and that's God's gift to us. You didn't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough for it. God just says, just be humble and receive. And that's what I see Mary doing. And the last point, you know, it comes to me, is that it's just a matter of yielding to God's will. He already loves you. He died for you on the cross. You don't have to do anything to receive that. You just have to yield to his will. And Mary, she's a great response. She just says, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm scared to death. But whatever you want to do, I'll just praise you. I'll thank you. I'll yield to your will. That's probably one of the hardest things. I know for my life, it is probably one of the hardest things to do is just to yield. Lord, can I just do this? Can I just get this done? No, it's just I wanted to just yield and just let God work in my heart and mind. Her cousin Elizabeth gave this comment. It says, you, Mary, believed that God would do what he said. And that's why he's given you this wonderful blessing. God just asks us in our lives to just praise him and thank him. To believe no matter what you see, he is working. In baptism, he brought you into his family. You are rock solid in that, not through anything you've done, but through the scars and the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is forever a testimony to us. What he's asking us to do in yielding to him is look at those scars. And look at that life given for us. And let it comfort us. Let us just believe and trust in God that he would be that gracious, that wonderful, that beautiful to us. May God bless us and encourage us and keep us in such faith. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, our service will continue. We're going to, before our time of prayer, we're going to collect our tithes and offerings for the morning. God bless you.